Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This is Dan Ball on WEEI.
Good morning and welcome into WEEI here on this Saturday, just after 11 o'clock on October the 11th, 2025. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Dan Ball with you here in our WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. Hello to those listening here on the flagship, WEEI 93.7 in Boston. Hello as well to those listening on our affiliates in the Cape, Providence, Rhode Island, Springfield, Worcester, Portland, Maine, Keene, New Hampshire, Claremont, New Hampshire, as well as White River Junction, Vermont. All of you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937. That's the number to call. That's the number to text to get in line to join the conversation on what has been an action-packed week in Boston sports. In one, and this was described at the end of the afternoon show on Friday by Andy Hart as a fun week, and I agree. Even though we went into Monday, Red Sox fans at least were still licking the collective wounds of losing to the Yankees. Think about what transpired since. The Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night, something that I know a lot of people had them covering on Sunday, but if you had them outright winning and actually put some money behind that opinion, then God bless you, because I certainly didn't think that was coming. You get a Patriots win, you get the Boston Bruins, who we'll talk about in the 12 o'clock hour, off to a 2-0 start, back-to-back wins. The Blackhawks win at home was one thing, because the Blackhawks suck, but coming in and holding the Washington Capitals and the NHL's leading goal scorer, Alexander Ovechkin, to one goal behind more than over 30 saves from Jeremy Swayman, didn't have that either. So you got two wins for the Bruins. You have a win against the Bills for the Patriots. And you also have the reemergence of Bill Belichick news. Just when you thought that, well, I guess he's just a bad college coach and that's just kind of the bed that we're going to lay in 2025. Au contraire, mon frere, there's so much more that comes out during the bye week that we'll get to as well. And again, 617-779-7937. At 1230, we're talking Bruins and early NHL opinions with Arta Ocal of ESPN. He's going to join the show and call in and have a conversation about that, where the Bruins, if they're a legitimate playoff team, which we'll get into as well, and great to hear the Morning Brew kicking off the morning. Talking about those very same things. Got my man David Azer back behind the glass with me, 11-2 leading you into KJ and Lions here on this Saturday afternoon. But we begin not with breaking NFL news, but breaking opinion and insight and reporting from Diana Russini of The Athletic. That leads us into a conversation about the New England Patriots and their game against the Saints coming up on Saturday. I'll read verbatim from the article that came out this morning. Russini talking about a potential trade target in A.J. Brown. Russini says, quote, "The Eagles will continue to insist that they have no plans to trade Brown, their star receiver, but every week that passes with problems piling up makes decision makers around the league wonder. One league source told me, quote, Brown doesn't look frustrated or mad. He looks indifferent, and that's not a good place to be. A GM in the AFC said, I think Howie Roseman moves him." It would have to be for the right player or pick, but in parentheses, a trade wouldn't surprise me. Howie likes deals, especially if a player's value overrides how Brown is being used. So the obvious follow-up question becomes, how statistically is A.J. Brown being used? Obviously, eye test tells you there's a little something going on with the way that they're using him, but you look at so far through six games, 274 receiving yards and a touchdown. By comparison, he has been over 1,000 yards each of the last 3 years, including his first two in Philly, where he nearly got to 1,500. He was in the 1,400s, 11 touchdowns, 7, 7, and now 1. His average yards per reception is down by 5, so, and his average receiving yards per game is also down considerably as well, from 83 last year to 45.7. And this is still a player in his age 28 season, so we shouldn't be talking about a guy who is now over the hill and past his prime. I think it's just fair to say that the offensive dynamic in Philadelphia is changing. The offense just as a whole isn't as explosive as it has been in these past Super Bowl years. And you also have the emergence of Devonta Smith opposite him, to where I think the wide receiver one and wide receiver two dynamic is changing. I still think Philadelphia at 4-2, though I know that there are issues and question marks abound, and it kind of looked like they gave up in the second half against the Giants on Thursday. I still think they'd be pretty foolish to move on from him. And as much as an AFC executive believes that he will get moved, I really don't. I think it's far too early in a season that still has enough promise in Philadelphia that this doesn't come to pass. But I bring that up to say that he's obviously been connected to Mike Vrabel because the two know each other very well. And this is a no-brainer to end all no-brainers for the New England Patriots and Drake May, because the offense has already been as good as it's been with the emergence of a wide receiver one, but still not a consistent first wide receiver option all season long. Think about it. It was Kayshon Booty to begin. Then it was Hunter Henry. And now over the last two games, it's been Stephon Diggs going over 100 receiving yards in back-to-back games. So it's fair to expect that the next couple of weeks for Stephon Diggs are going to be pretty impressive and pretty fun to watch. It looks like the May to Diggs connection is now fully established and exactly what fans were hoping it would be. This is the best of the best that you could have expected. And then all the stuff in the summer with the boat and the pink bag or whatever was the worst of the worst that you get with Stephon Diggs. But my worry with that is, if this team has legitimate aspirations to be a playoff team, and I think based on the way that you just played the Bills and what the top end of this offense seems to be, you should have aspirations of at least being a wild card team based on the way the schedule is set up. And we'll go through that next to kind of comb through, you know, is this a playoff team? Is this a 10-win team? Is it more? You can pick apart some of the games that they have coming up, but I mean, it's unequivocally easy. They have, based on winning percentage of opponents, the easiest schedule remaining in the NFL. What I worry about with this is, what does Stephon Diggs look like come week 10, week 11? What does he look like come December when these games really matter? When you are ideally, hopefully, possibly fighting for a wild card spot. I still think division is probably too strong, but you should still be in the hunt. If what we're seeing through 5 weeks isn't a mirage, you're going to be in the hunt. And Stephon Diggs, coming off of a devastating lower body injury on the wrong side of 30, can he keep this up for a full season? I think the answer to that is no. So obviously, a move for A.J. Brown is the no-brainer to end all no-brainers. Think about how that changes the dialogue around the Patriots offense. No more do you have to worry about Pop Douglas taking a step. No more do you have to worry about, well, maybe Efton Chisholm's wearing number 12. Maybe that means that he really is the chosen one, and all he needs to do is get in there, and he'll be the next Julian Edelman. Like, none of that matters when you add A.J. Brown to Stephon Diggs in your offense. Brown, Diggs, Hunter Henry, thank you very much. Signed, sealed, and delivered. But I think Philadelphia would be ridiculous and crazy to move on after six games when you're still over 500 and still have a lot of talent on that offense. So that's the latest on A.J. Brown. That's where I wanted to start to launch into a conversation about the Patriots offense and the growth of Drake May. who I think opinion-wise, nationally, has grown exponentially so far. And earlier this week, Stiz and I on the afternoon show combed through some of the opinions that were ranging and popping out and kind of starting to develop about Drake after the Patriots beat the Bills in primetime. He played some good games, but obviously, once you do it in a standalone primetime game, your first primetime start against Josh Allen, the guy that you're supposed to be and live up to, that's when all the national heads start to take note. And here were some of the opinions, David, of Drake May after week five.
He looked like he's going to be the best quarterback in the league. I mean, he's that good.
Dude, it was awesome.
Drake May is 100% taking the biggest leap and playing the best out of anybody that was drafted in the first round of last year's draft.
Yeah.
There's a lot of remnants in this game of Ben Roethlisberger and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Drake May will wear a red jacket. He will absolutely wear a red jacket.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
No, the Schefters believe in Drake May, for the record.
Yeah.
Drake May, head coach, left tackle, quarterback, renew your season tickets. It looks like they found the guy.
Hey, guys, go fast.
So, obviously, I had a little fun with that edit because the yes are one of my favorite parts of listening to him every Monday on the show. But the main opinions outside of the verbal tics of Drake May is what I wanted to focus on in that, because that was Rich Eisen. That was Colin Cowherd. That was Andy Hart being a homer, but the rest of them were national guys who were just heaping praises upon the Patriots' second-year quarterback. Fifth in passing yards, tied for 17th in passing touchdowns, but that number's on the rise. Tied for 20th with two picks. Geno Smith has 9 interceptions so far this season. That bonkers. Six touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Nice. 11.2 yards per completion, which is 13th. 107.8 passer rating, which is 6th. And, you know, you can look through all the other metrics. Some of the more, you know, drill down and find the data numbers on him that I was curious about. He has 21 throws that are considered bad throws. By comparison, Cam Ward leads the league with 34. And Baker Mayfield is a quarterback, notably, who has more. 116 passes considered to be on target, tied with Jordan Love, more than Jared Goff. 2.4 seconds of pocket time, which is about league average, 2.7 the most, 2.1 the least. He's been blitzed 47 times, 5th most, hurried 14 times, 6th most, pressured 44 times, which is the 4th most, and he's also scrambled 17 times, which is 4th most. So what does all of that tell you about the second-year quarterback for the Patriots after I just listed off a bunch of numbers? It means that he's getting more time to throw, and he's doing better under pressure year over year. I think that's the thing that jumps out to me the most. And something that I made more of maybe than I should have at the time in the preseason, when the Patriots played the Commanders in that first game and Drake played for a little while, and, you know, he ends up tucking one down and running for a score against the Commanders. I got all worked up because I thought that there was an easy chance for him to throw, but he did something that I thought he did too much in his rookie year, which was tuck it and run when he still had the chance to throw. And that married up with comments that he made during the course of the preseason. All right, Drake, what are you working on? What's the year two Drake May plan? What's the plan for success? And he would say, yeah, but then he'd actually say information. And what he would say is, I'm trying to remain a passer longer. And I thought that was an interesting way of putting it. And you think about the way that he would operate the offense last year. He was pretty darn quick to tuck it and scramble. His games played and the amount of snaps played and stuff was, you know, was average compared to the rest of the league. But he was still top 5 in scrambles, which suggested to me that he was choosing to run more so than your average quarterback and more so than I really thought he should have, if you're going to become the quarterback that the Patriots wanted and a guy that can be a franchise guy. That is an early rookie, young quarterback not being comfortable in the pockets, knee-jerk reaction. We saw it with Josh Allen. You've seen it with Lamar Jackson. The guys that are the most athletic dual-threat quarterbacks that you find early on in their career, there was a lack of comfort standing up in the pocket, stepping up and throwing and risking taking the hit. So that was still definitely a part of his game that I was very worried about coming into year two. And I think it was there much more in a much more prevalent fashion at the beginning of the season. That game against the Raiders, that it wasn't crisp, it wasn't clean, and it looked like he didn't feel great about it, and certainly his relationship with Josh McDaniels wasn't at its best. But since that time, the game one to game five maturation and the ability to make plays and the ability to just be comfortable making these throws, I feel like it's been leaps and bounds better come game five than it was game one. There were a couple plays that he was able to extend, a couple of throws that he was able to make that you just weren't seeing year one. So I think the growth has been phenomenal. I think that the praise that has been given to him has been largely warranted, but the Bills game was really the first opponent where you go, all right, now he's facing somebody who's actually going to test his mettle. And I thought it was his best game of his career. And specifically the best quarter of his career when the pressure was at its highest. So it's pretty hard to poke holes in what's going on with this guy year one to year two. You also got to give credit to that offensive line, man. Will Campbell has been outstanding. We knew that he was a good run blocker, but it turns out that he is a pretty damn good pass blocker as well. He's been able to hold down the left side of the offensive line as Jared Wilson has been in and out. Ben Brown jumps in for a little bit. Garrett Bradbury has held it down the middle. I was very concerned about the way that basically center and left on the line was structured by the Patriots, and that group has been stellar. And I think you're seeing that as Drake gains more trust in his offensive line, he's getting more comfortable standing in the pocket and throwing. And also, the dumb decisions per 60, the dumb decisions per game, I feel like that number is also down considerably game over game, to where you're seeing, instead of trying to make a hero play, instead of trying to, you know, throw on this crazy angle on the run off his back foot, try to make some Herculean throw that you can make in college at that level. You can get away with it in college with some of the, you know, the soft coverages that you're facing at the collegiate level. Those dumb decisions, I think, were the biggest year two worry to start the season. Well, he still got a little dumb in his game. As Tom Curran called it, he still got a dark side. It's in there, but it's certainly decreasing week over week, where you see him just, all right, just throw it at the feet. Throw it at the feet of the nearest receiver. Whatever you need to do not to get intentional grounding, all of a sudden, that skill, you start to see that pop out a little bit more. Throw it out of bounds. Throw it at the feet. Throw it somewhere so that you're not either taking the sack or you're not giving it away. Because him trying to play hero ball was causing a lot of issues for this Patriots offense for the first season and then into the preseason and then kind of at the beginning of the year as well. So again, there's always the chance for regression. And coming up, you know, he's facing a handful of defenses that are going to test his mettle. New Orleans is tied for the league lead with 5 fumbles forced. That's going to be something to watch for both him and Ramondre Stevenson, who's been a little too generous again this year. Then you get Cleveland in a couple weeks. Second least yards allowed, best run defense in the game, followed by Atlanta, least amount of yards allowed, and the best pass defense so far this season. So though you have teams with poor records, you have good defenses and defenses that can kind of force a regression back to what I think is Drake May's, for lack of a better term, factory setting, which is still playing hero ball and trying to use his athleticism to get out of trouble. The mental makeup of the Patriots quarterback in year two has improved drastically over year one. He deserves credit. Josh McDaniels certainly deserves credit for the way that he has adapted the offense. And they're passing the ball more because of it. Tied for 8th in the league with a 64% pass rate. Average depth of target, 6.9 yards, 3rd least in the league. So the play scheming is getting wide receivers open quickly. It's getting the ball out quickly. It's making sure that there is always a safety valve that he can dump the ball off to. It's relying on yards after the catch. It's kind of idiot-proofing things for the quarterback and for the players on the offense. And I think it's paying tremendous dividends so far. So we'll see. There is a game against the Saints that a lot of people are calling a trap game. And I think the aggressive nature of the Saints defense. Now, granted, that was those numbers were padded by the fact that the Giants just could not hang on to the ball in the second half last week. But again, it's a defense that can make you make mistakes if you're not careful. That's the challenge upcoming for the Patriots and Drake May coming up here in week 6. 617-779-7937. Where are you in terms of confidence level in your quarterback? Is he the franchise guy? Is he Josh Allen 2.0? Or are you still a little bit dubious of where he is through his progression through year number 2 with the Patriots? When we return, we'll look ahead not only to week 6 against the Saints, but to the rest of the season, because Tommy Curran and others have gone on record this week in saying this is a 10-win team. This team's going to be playing at Highmark Stadium again against the Bills in the AFC Championship. The opinions have gone skyrocketing through the roof in terms of what this team is capable of. But does the schedule really give you as many cupcakes as the records would suggest? We'll examine that after David Azar gets you caught up on what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Expectations now changing for everybody?
They could, and they almost should, in a vacuum, be 10-3 by the time they get to their bye. The only team they should lose to, on paper, in a vacuum, is Tampa. They should be able to beat Atlanta at home. They should be able to take care of business against all those other teams, the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, Jets. So I do think that the AFC landscape has drastically changed.
Are you serious right now?
Tommy Curran on Jones and Keefe earlier this week, sharing some unbridled optimism about the New England Patriots currently and moving forward. Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball with you, talking New England Patriots ahead of their matchup tomorrow against the New Orleans Saints. Game two of a three-game road trip going on for New England. 617-779-7937 is the phone number to get in touch with us. So I will read off to begin things as we take a look forward for this Patriots schedule. First of all, the picks that I made to begin the season for every single game to this point. I had three losses in a row, and I was about a Devin Achane toenail away from being right. Raiders, Steelers, Dolphins. I had a win against the Panthers and then a loss against the Bills. So I had this team at 1-4 through five games. I certainly did not see the win against the Bills coming. And hey, credit where credit is due. They were able to beat the Dolphins, who are a much bigger dumpster fire through to that point in the season than I think I was expecting. I then had wins against the Saints, the Titans, and the Browns before we moved forward. So I had them going from 1-4 to 4-4 to start the season. You take on New Orleans, a team that is 1-4 after picking up a win against the Giants. And I think with the Saints, I mean, there's talent around the quarterback. And that was my biggest argument earlier on this week when we were talking about previewing this game is, you have a running back who just took over fifth all-time in terms of receptions by a running back in Alvin Kamara. He's usually money in the bank to miss 2 to 3 games a season, but when he's healthy, he's still a difference maker. You have a wide receiver one in Chris Olave, who if he could ever get a gosh darn quarterback worth his salt to throw him the football, I think he'd be a guy that would turn heads across the league. Rashid Shaheed has turned into a halfway decent wide receiver too, and Juwan Johnson can do a halfway decent job as your tight end. So you have difference makers on the offensive side of the ball. You have a defense that's been able to force some turnovers and create some issues for some teams in this league, but they're still a 1-4 team. If you are the New England Patriots who just beat the Buffalo Bills, who put the clamps down on Josh Allen, and specifically put the clamps down on James Cook, I really think that kind of went under the radar last week for how important James Cook has become as kind of the match that lights the fire for the Bills offense, and how great the run defense was for the Patriots limiting James Cook. I think I read a stat, something to the effect of they haven't allowed a running back to have a game over, I think it's 50 yards in a game so far this season, which is which I believe is the best in the NFL or the best for the franchise in a while. It's a mark that you don't see very often. So they have been locking down opposing running backs. That was a huge part of forcing Josh Allen to be kind of the only thing of the Bills offense that was doing anything right. And then they forced turnovers, forced mistakes, created so much pressure and chaos that the Bills made mistakes that they just had not made. So if that team that jumped above 500 with a stellar effort against Buffalo is who we're seeing again this weekend, then that shouldn't be an issue. Neither should the Tennessee game, and really neither should Cleveland or Atlanta. You should not have another challenge until you face Tampa on the road, whose offense looks tremendous. Baker Mayfield is having an MVP-esque start to the season. They got 17 different wide receivers that could catch the ball. It's crazy. It's crazy what they've developed in the post Tom Brady era down there. However, if what we saw was not a mirage on Sunday, then the next 1, 2, 3, 4 games should not be a contest. But there are little idiosyncrasies about these games that still bother me. With New Orleans specifically, obviously the fumbles that they force and the turnovers that they force, 8 takeaways in total, 5 of which are fumbles. I look at an offense without Antonio Gibson where you're trying to piecemeal it together between Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson, who I still think A, hasn't played well, and B, Josh McDaniels has next to no idea how to deploy properly. They're going to have to get that figured out. They got to figure out a role for this guy quickly because you can't. You now do not have Gibson, and they added a Jayshon Corbin to the practice squad, but he led the UFL in rushing yards. That doesn't, in the wise words of Ted Johnson, blow my skirt up all that much. So it's those two guys, and one of which has had a consistent butterfingers issue for years at this point. So the turnovers worry me with New Orleans, and the injuries that are now cropping up on an already pretty thin secondary is something that scares me about this week. Gonzalez being limited and now being questionable as he continues to deal with the hamstring injury is a nightmare scenario because the defense with him making plays at the end or down the stretch in the fourth quarter against the Bills was incredible. The absolute best of the best that you could have expected from this group was on display against Buffalo. If you pull him out of the mix, on top of the fact that you are now missing Jalen Hawkins, who has officially been ruled out for the game on Sunday, there are enough difference makers in the receiving core of the Saints team where they can put up some points against you. So those are two key factors that worry me about this game in New Orleans. Trap game, not necessarily, but certainly things that could expose the weaknesses of this Patriots team. Tennessee sucks. There is your nuanced opinion of the Tennessee Titans. There is nothing that I look at on that team and go, ooh, that's going to be a problem. That should be a cakewalk. Whatever.
Nasty.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I think that game is going to look like come the fourth quarter when Josh Dobbs is playing that final series. That's how bad I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be very Carolina-esque against the Titans. Then you have two teams that I really can't make heads or tails of. Both are at, or well, one Cleveland's 1-4, Atlanta's 2-2. Cleveland, to this point, second least amount of yards allowed, the best run defense, and they just made a change at quarterback to Dylan Gabriel and looked better, looked at least functional as they're paying. I read this on Twitter. They're paying 8 quarterbacks this season. They're paying 8 quarterbacks in when you have 8 quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. It's Deshaun Watson, it's Jameis Winston, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, Flacco, Bailey Zappe, Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR, and geez, I can't remember who the 8th one was. I thought I was going to be able to do that off rip. 7 of 8. Who the heck am I missing? I'll think of it. Anyways. So that's what you're dealing with there. But Gabriel looks like maybe there's a little something there. I still think your defense should be able to have a field day with them. Their defense is something you'll have to watch. That's going to be a low scoring affair, and that's going to put a lot of onus on Drake May because they've done well against the run. Then Atlanta, Drake May versus Michael Penix. You had some people after both rookie years going, maybe the Patriots might have missed out on their true QB1 with Michael Penix. Yeah. All right. Let's revisit that one so far this year. They are a very good defense, though. Best pass defense in the league, least amount of yards allowed to this point. So you'll face some defensive challenges. That is for certain. But again, I go right back to my main idea for this first hour here on WEEI in the 11 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us, by the way. If you are the team that we saw in Buffalo, none of these should be an issue. You should be well on your way to the Tommy Curran 10 wins. So if you tack on another 4 to 3-2, 7-2 going into the Tampa game, with the following being the easiest stretch of the season, which is the Jets, the Burrowless Cincinnati Bengals, and the Giants. Giants, all of a sudden with Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll looking to commit murder against his team doctors on the sideline, that's one to monitor. I think that's a team that you would have rather have gotten, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, because it seems like there's a little bit of something going on there. But again, they're a couple losses away from very possibly firing their head coach and being right back at the top of the draft board if you're not expecting them to be there already. So that's realistically one true challenge before your bye week. Then you get Buffalo again, who's going to come into Gillette pissed. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Baltimore, who should be a lot healthier than the 1-4 squad that you're seeing right now. Lamar, Roquan Smith, Chidobe Awuzie, close enough, are out with injuries expected to return after the bye next week. Patrick Ricard also expected to be back in week 8. They've lost some players due to injury for the season on defense. Nnamdi Adebike among them. But that team should be better, but they've still shown a lot of weakness to this point. It's a couple more losses and you're out of the picture, and all of a sudden those Derrick Henry trade rumors that seemed so crazy a couple weeks ago when Andy Hart was talking about them all of a sudden come into focus a little bit more. But Baltimore, I still believe, is going to be a challenge in addition to Buffalo. The Jets stink, and so do the Dolphins. there's a clear and easy path there. The one main question is, are the Patriots finished beating themselves? Because there's a real argument to be made that 3-2 is even kind of on the low end of where this team should be. That Steelers loss, 21-14, one of the most ugly games that we've seen in quite a while, one of the uglier games of the NFL season, I would argue, is a game that you absolutely should have won. The turnovers were mind-bogglingly bad. You don't do that, again, ifs and buts are candy and nuts, we all have a Merry Christmas. Like, if you don't do that, you're 4-1. But again, if Devin Achane doesn't step out, then you're 2-3. That's just how the NFL season goes. But if you're done beating yourself, if you're done shooting yourself in the foot time and time and time and time again, you should only have one challenge before your bye week, and it's Tampa. And then you should be raring and ready to go and fighting for a playoff spot when you come out of your bye against Buffalo and Baltimore. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones before the break. Tim is in Hanover. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
All right, Dan. Hey, I just want to say I love the way you broke down May's progression.
Thank you.
You couldn't have did it any better, man, because I'll tell you what, he was out of the pocket way too early prior. But I think what now he's learning is Josh McDaniels is breaking him down after in the film sessions and critiquing him and telling him, hey, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong, and that's what's been happening. I can't consider him a Josh Allen guy because Josh Allen's built way better and he runs like a tailback.
Right.
They're totally different, but the thing is, you know what? He's in the right direction, and hopefully the line keeps playing the way they are, and we'll be doing well.
Tim, thank you for the call. I always appreciate hearing from Tim here on these weekends. And Josh McDaniels does deserve a ton of the credit. The Patriots are in such a unique spot with their offense and their offensive coordinator right now because Drake May is on his rookie contract for another 2 years after this year. The financial flexibility that gives you to kind of win right away is crazy. And their offensive coordinator, when he's the coordinator of the Patriots, not a head coach anywhere else, not a coordinator anywhere else, when he is specifically the offensive coordinator of the Patriots, is somebody who has worked wonders with, obviously, you know, this guy named Tom Brady. He's pretty good, but did also worked wonders and created a playoff team and a playoff quarterback out of first year Mac Jones as well. So you have an OC who has done a great job in his now three stints in New England, who no other team is going to want to hire. That is something that no other team in the NFL can say. We have an OC whose resume is one of the best that you've seen this century, and 31 other teams, I don't think would even bring him in for an interview. Isn't that crazy? That's the reputation. That's the resume. It's this guy is perfect for the one job that he has. And that is a real opportunity for this offensive growth to continue uninterrupted season over season. This should be a coach and quarterback duo, McDaniels and May, that have no plans of going anywhere, and that's an incredible thing. One more quick call before the break. David is in the car. Good morning, David.
Hi, good morning, Dan. So, you know, you said a lot of things, great things. You're really breaking it down, like the previous call just said, which is totally awesome. But, you know, one thing you said, they should, and this is the big question, they should be able to win. But what concerns me, Dan, is that against the Buffalo team, the first half was not a football game. And we can all agree, I think, on that because they didn't play good. They were given the ball twice on a 10-yard line with turnovers. They only scored 3 points. So
right.
The second half was a different game, unbelievable. But what concerns me is that, you know, in most sports, I believe, all the sports, you know, teams tend to play better when they're playing a better team because if your mindset goes there, it's like, oh, they're better than us, so we got to be on an A game. And it seems like sometimes when you're playing a team that's a little bit less, it's just human nature. You tend to get comfortable. And that's what kind of worries me about some of these games coming up. You know, Cleveland, even the Saints is a concern. You know, I don't want to say it's a trap game, but it's to be concerned. And if there's a person who can, you know, get that concern and get the focus going with May, that is Josh McDaniels. I don't care what anybody says. As a head coach, he didn't succeed. I think it had a lot to do with the coaches that he had, not having the right coaches. That's a whole different conversation. But, I mean, we all saw what he did with Mac back in 2021. So that pretty much tells us that he can do that with Drake May, and I think he will. And I'm really hoping they do well. They go to the playoffs. But there are concerns in some of these games. There are some.
Absolutely, David. Thank you for the call. Concerns indeed. We'll continue the Patriots conversation. I see your calls lining up. We'll take those next at 617-779-7937. Does the string of games coming up, despite teams with subpar records, concern you? Or are you just fully on that this team's going to the playoffs? I'm already booking my tickets for the playoffs in the AFC Championship game. Where are you in that? 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls, read your texts coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball with you, talking New England Patriots. And optimism for the Patriots. What a concept. From the 5-1-2, the Pats are going to be very limited without Gonzalez, 1-2 without him. But here's where the text changed. They'll be 10-7 if he's out of the lineup. 10-7 if he's out of the lineup? What are they going to be if he's in? To have that as the bottom of the barrel with him being injured is kind of wild. What else we got here on the text line from the 240? Dan, please mention the job that Doug Marrone has done as an excellent OL coach, best OL coach since Dante by a long shot. Great show, Frank. Thank you, Frank. It's a great point. I mean, with all due respect to the five wonderful gentlemen whom the Patriots have put together on that offensive line. Anybody who looked at rookie Will Campbell, rookie center Jared Wilson, playing left guard. Garrett Bradbury, Mike Onwenu, and Morgan Moses, given the way the preseason went, and said, yep, that's going to be the offensive line that improves things drastically and changes the game for Drake May. Anybody who looked at that group and said that, God bless you, you know more than I do, and you're far more optimistic than I did, than I am and will be. I mean, I thought the takes from my wonderful coworker Andy saying that it could be worse might have been a little strong, but I mean, you looked at the makeup. Him and I had this conversation off air, and I'll bring it on air. It's not, you know, top secret, but I think it's kind of the thought process behind why somebody would say that. What did you have last year? A whole bunch of nothing, but at least you had multiple known quantities. You had guys on that offensive line who you knew what you were going to get. Even if it wasn't great, you at least knew what it was going to be. This year, with Campbell playing zero NFL games, you had no idea. Profiled out as a good player, but again, the arms were too short and the hands were too small and all this other stuff. There was a lot of pessimism around him. Maybe that's just the Boston media market. I don't know. But there was a lot of pessimism around him. Left guard became the biggest question mark on the offensive line in camp. Center, Garrett Bradbury was brought in, but his resume was not stellar. You had Onwenu. That was the one thing you knew, is you had Onwenu at right guard. And then Morgan Moses was out there for a cup of coffee during the preseason and then had his load managed for the remainder of the summer. So you really only had one thing that you knew, and that was Onwenu. So theoretically, you had four opportunities for the offensive line to get worse. And with the leadership of Doug Marrone, you have been healthy so far, knocking on the wooden table in this studio, and you have been better, and you continue to get better. And the pressure rate and the pressures and the sacks and all the things that are mounting, especially for Will Campbell, those numbers have been eye-poppingly good. And all of a sudden, that left side of the offensive line has gone from at least a Mount Rushmore negative last year to one of the biggest bright spots, and one of what I argued yesterday is the most important parts of the Patriots' growth to a team that's over 500 through five games for the first time since 2019. 617-779-7937. Ron is in Worcester. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? It would be an amazing thing if they won three consecutive games on the road, even superior teams. Have a hard time doing that. So if they lose, don't be so hard on them.
Okay, I appreciate that. And now I won't be. I'll treat them with kid gloves after they go out and embarrass themselves. No, that it's a fair point. It's the longest road trip that they've had in a couple of years, and started off with a win against Buffalo is bonkers crazy. So if you come out of this road trip realistically with a 2-1 record, would anybody complain? I feel like a lot of people going into this three-game stretch looked at it and said, oh, that's probably a 2-1 stretch. You just kind of build in the loss to the Bills. Unfortunately, and I understand Ron's point just about playing games on the road in general. Unfortunately, you've kind of moved the goalposts on yourself. You've kind of made it to the point where it's not really acceptable to then go out and play down to your opponent in New Orleans, or play down to your opponent in Tennessee. I think if there's a loss in these remaining two games of this trip, it's this weekend. I see nothing about Patriots-Titans that worries me in the slightest. But I do see some difference makers on offense for New Orleans, and I see a defense that can force you to make some mistakes, and I see a banged-up secondary. Those are three things that you can point to and go, this may be the loss, if you're penciling in a 2-1 record during this road trip. Next week, shouldn't be much of any, barring something catastrophic that we don't know about yet. You have the league leader in bad throws in Cam Ward, and you have a wide receiving group that doesn't necessarily have the stars or anybody that really comes to mind when you think of Titans wide receivers. Like, it's just not a good ball club, but I understand the point. It's just kind of not good enough anymore. You beat the Bills. That implies that these two teams shouldn't be much of a test for you if you are who we think you are. 617-779-7937. Patriots and Saints coming up tomorrow. Don't forget, before the game, you'll have WEEI's Football Sunday. You got Christian Arcan. You got Christian Arcan. You got Ted Johnson. You got Megan Onalini. And you got Chris Schein joining you from 10 to 1, getting you ready for the game. And then at the conclusion of the game, don't miss the Six Rings post-game show with Fitzy and Hart on the station immediately following the conclusion of the Patriots game tomorrow. And then all the shows will be back on Monday to re-rack all of it. You got Mike Vrabel. You got Drake May and either Marcus Jones or Jelani Tavai, as well as Hunter Henry. And the Hunter Henry, what is it, David? Hunter Henry surprise question of the week?
Yeah, the surprise question of the week. It's been great. I mean, they've went from Destiny's Child to Harambe. I mean, pretty much anything can come from that question.
To hear a Harambe mention in 2025, because I was...
Makes me feel old.
I know, right? I was a college kid when Harambe was going on the first time. And just to hear it... Hear it pop back into the cultural zeitgeist, whatever, 10 years later, however long it's been. That I was 85 corn dogs worth of surprise just to hear the word Harambe mentioned on Jones and Keefe. But that's the kind of stuff you get on a Patriots Monday on WEEI. Speaking of Patriots, we pivot very briefly from the current day Patriots to former Patriots, because I want to go through the timeline of this week for Bill Belichick. I will put my hand up and show accountability and say, I'm not going to try to bash Bill, because I think there are some seriously concerning things going on with this. But it's been quite a week down in Chapel Hill for a team that wasn't even preparing for a game. How did we get to the point where Bill Belichick is calling Kirk Herbstreit live on College Game Day this morning? We'll recap that next.
Our phone lines are open.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.